Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about preterism and postmillennialism. You might be wondering what all that theological jargon is about. Well, don't turn off your dial just yet, because by the end of this program, I believe you'll be practicing Philippians 1:9, abounding still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So let me begin by giving you the short of it. Preterism is the doctrinal teaching that all of the New Testament prophecies concerning the coming apocalypse has passed. It all took place in AD 70 in the destruction of Jerusalem. And the entire book of the Revelation is considered a spiritual commentary on the events that took place in the first century. Preterism is a Latin term for something in the past, and the doctrinal position is that the apocalypse has passed. Now, if you're the typical evangelical Christian, you're going to ask, how in the world do they get that? Well, that is what I'll be discussing in a little bit. But the other term you should know is postmillennialism. And it's usually joined with preterism, because if the apocalypse is past, then what does the future hold? In postmillennialism, the future will not be an apocalypse, but the world will eventually become Christianized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus will come to receive his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:25, "For Jesus must reign until he puts all enemies under his feet." And in postmillennialism, Jesus is reigning now spiritually, and he will have victory over this world spiritually. Postmillennialism sees the 20th century age of secularism as a temporary setback, but soon the church will again conquer the world. The gospel story in postmillennialism is heaven coming into earth, and our role is to bring heaven and culture into the earth through the proclamation of the gospel. The other day, a friend of mine found this description helpful. Postmillennialism is very similar to dispensational premillennialism in the sense that both positions believe that Jesus will someday rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 2:26. The premillennialists believe Jesus will physically come to earth and do this for 1,000 years. The postmillennialists believe that the Spirit of God is powerful enough to do this without Jesus' physical presence. But either way, Jesus will rule over the nations. He wins. So that's postmillennialism. Post meaning after, so that after the world is Christianized, after the world is in a glorious millennial utopian state, then Jesus Christ will return physically. Now, I believe both preterism and its sister postmillennialism are well-meaning, but they are false theologies of eschatology. They come out of an erroneous reading of Scripture, a superimposing of a theological system upon the text of Scripture. I can personally tolerate a lot of variety among Christians in regard to biblical interpretations of the last days, their eschatology. And I really do believe that the Holy Spirit has made some of these last time prophecies deliberately ambiguous, maybe to test our humility and our charity. But after looking again at the preterist position, I think we are now moving into the realm of false teaching, the kind we're told to separate from. Partial preterists I can accept, but that full preterist position is really stepping into the realm of liberal unbelief. Liberal clergy have always denied the literal second coming of Jesus Christ. They interpret Jesus' second coming as a spiritual coming, that Jesus comes a second time whenever the world is filled with love. And the preterist interpretation, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, is Christ arriving spiritually. Matthew 24, Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And then he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. For the preterist, Jesus is coming on the clouds. It is symbolic of Jesus judging Jerusalem in AD 70. And the angelic trumpet gathering of the elect is simply the conversion of souls in the church age. That must be interpreted as figurative Old Testament forms of speech. Now, conservative preterists do believe Jesus will literally come someday. And in that sense, they're not flaming liberals. But they sure express the same criticism of the supernatural and the physical. So, this is God and Country Radio, and I usually discuss theology and politics. I mean, why discuss preterism? Why not discuss the impeachment or the election? Well, because there is a political dimension to preterism. And it's these foundational doctrines that have to be ironed out before we ever engage in the political applications of the Bible. I've discussed preterism in the past, but now I want to deal with it head on. The political social teaching of preterists and postmillennialism is to blame the moral decline in the West and the political left's takeover of government on the church's premillennial coming apocalyptic theology. Hence, for the preterists, if the church will get back to preterism and postmillennialism, the church will again be politically active trying to Christianize the world rather than just sitting around waiting for the Antichrist to come. And to this I say, what a boatload of, well, let's just say, misguided thinking. This whole issue came to my attention again by a listener sending me a link to a podcast by Jeff Durbin and Gary DeMar, teaching preterism. And since this teaching is out there, it needs to be addressed. Jeff Durbin runs Apologia Ministry and Gary DeMar runs American Vision. And I'd rather stick with the issue than mentioning the names of these Christian leaders, but these two men represent vocal preterists in our day. Jeff Durbin actually admits that it was Gary DeMar's teaching on preterism that opened his eyes to the eschatology. And my guess is that their political social mindset is behind their attraction to preterism, postmillennialism. You see, when Christians get off on what we would consider strange doctrines, it is not just the scriptural misinterpretation that should be examined, but their own personal psychology. There is usually some issue, some desire, some need that is the reason they're attracted to a certain theology. Gary DeMar even admits that his preterism is a reaction against dispensationalists who told him that we can't change the world because the apocalypse is coming, that the world will only change when Christ returns, that Christians need to stay out of politics because it's cursed by God, and we all know that the church is going to be defeated in history. So therefore, Gary DeMar, wanting to save the nation, America, wanting to be politically active, has come to believe evangelical premillennialism is ruining the world. That the Left Behind series, that the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, has made Christians check out politically. Now, I'm sure Durbin and DeMar would disagree with my assessment here. I'm sure they would say, no, their preterist views come strictly from biblical exegesis, that they're not imposing their political action philosophy on Scripture. But I tend to think there's some connection here. Their exegesis is just so flawed that it has to be driven by some outside ideology. Now, before I go on, let me refute the false premise here. Premillennialism, even dispensational premillennialism, this belief in a coming apocalypse, does not make the Christian politically, socially inactive. Those Christians still win souls. They still fight for the life of the unborn. They still vote and lobby for conservative values. Because a righteous nation with Christian values and religious freedom is crucial to soul winning. The longer we can hold off the Antichrist spirit, the better. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity, because God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, here is proof that the apocalyptic premillennialism does not result in checking out politically. The Family Research Council in Washington. Hundreds of pastors show up at their Watchmen on the Wall conference, and I know their leadership and their constituency. They are all predominantly premillennialists, Baptists, charismatics, Bible church guys. Their eschatology is not squashing their political activism. And the postmillennial guys are not showing up, maybe because there's so few of them, or maybe because they're back home writing books and just waiting on the Spirit of God to Christianize the world. If either group is inactive, it's really due to other factors besides their eschatology. You can use either premillennialism or postmillennialism to justify political indifference, if that's your bent. So let's switch gears here and look at the history of this whole thing. The early church fathers in the first three centuries were all premillennialists. They believed in a coming apocalypse, an antichrist, a day of the Lord, and they did not believe Revelation was merely a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. In the Didache, an early church manual from the second century, it reads, quote, "For in the last days, the false prophets and corruptors shall be multiplied, and the sheep will be turned to wolves. And then the world deceiver shall appear as the Son of God, and shall work signs and wonders, and the earth shall be delivered into his hands. And he shall do unholy things, which have never been since the world began. Then all created mankind shall come into the fire of testing, and then shall the sign of the truth appear, first a sign of the rift in the heaven, then a sign of a voice of a trumpet, and thirdly, a resurrection of the dead. The Lord shall come with all of his saints. Then the world shall see the Lord coming on the clouds of heaven." You see in this that these second century Christians did not believe the end of the age would be a Christianized world, but there would be a great rebellion, an antichrist, and an apocalypse. And Matthew 24:30, the Lord will literally come on the clouds to gather his people. All the early church fathers believed this. I mean, you can look this up online, quotes from Tertullian and Irenaeus and Papias and Polycarp and Justin Martyr. They all believed in a coming apocalypse. But almost all church historians agree that the shift to postmillennialism, preterism, took place when Christianity became dominant and became the official religion of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. Augustine, who lived from 350 to 430, helped promote this idea that Satan was already bound and the church was triumphant over the nations, that the church was already in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, so that the millennium would be a spiritual reign, and any talk of a physical millennium on earth was simply Jewish, crass, unspiritual literalism. It's really amazing how we may interpret the Bible in the light of our circumstances rather than interpret our circumstances in the light of the Bible. Well, when the Reformation took place, the Reformers sought to correct Romanist errors concerning the doctrines of salvation. But they just carried over and accepted the postmillennialist, amillennial, preterist positions of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is why if you read any of the Reformers or the Puritans, you will get this preterist postmillennial view. Even Jonathan Edwards was postmillennial. It wasn't really until the 19th century that Christians started challenging the prevailing eschatology carried over from the Catholic Church. In the 19th century, there was a return to premillennial apocalyptic interpretation. the interpretation of the first three centuries of the church. Now, part of this revival of premillennialism included John Darby coming up with the system called dispensationalism. And dispensationalism believes in an apocalypse and a rapture, but it also contains a lot of doctrinal errors that preterists can easily refute, such as separating the church from Israel too much, or teaching that Israel in the future will be sacrificing animals to God in complete obedience to God. And preterists believe if they can refute dispensationalism, they can refute premillennialism. But not so. You can believe in a coming apocalypse, an antichrist, and cosmic judgments, and the rapture of the saints, without being a dispensationalist. This is called being historic premillennial. That is, you hold to the basic premillennial framework of the early New Testament church, and you believe in a literal future interpretation of the book of the Revelation without holding to all of the speculations of dispensationalism. Anyway, I think it's fair to say that the rise of premillennialism in the 19th and 20th century was not the cause of the secularization of the nations, but our response to it. The church didn't become premillennial and then abandon the public square. The church became premillennial because we were thrown out of the public square. The rise of secularism, the apostasy of the nations, the abandoning of Christian governance for secular humanism drove Christians to re-examine prophecy. Now, preterism and postmillennialism reversed the cause and effect, which is an easy mistake to make in many fields of study. Preterists say that the church abandoned social leadership because of its eschatology, when, in fact, the church was thrown out of social leadership. The truly born-again Christians were outnumbered by the unsaved. We didn't have the people to fill the universities and the institutions and the government. So the ungodly took over. But preterism blames the church for the rise of the pagan state. Quote from Gary DeMar, "The only reason the unsaved have succeeded is because we have stepped out." Here's a quote from another preterist, Greg Banson. "The decay and darkness around us is to the blame and shame of the Christian church." And if I haven't said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Stop blaming the church for the lostness of the lost and for the coming of the apocalypse. It is God who is bringing the apocalypse. He has removed his restraint on the wicked to expose the true heart of mankind, that they may be judged. That is the message of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the book of the Revelation. It is not because the church has failed. So do you see the difference between these two interpretations of prophecy? How preterism sees the world in Christian ministry, and how premillennialism sees the world in Christian ministry. Now, I hope Christians on both sides of this issue are still doing just as much in personal evangelism and soul winning. But nevertheless, these two views put Christians in different mindsets. The problem I have with preterists is that they may be sorely disappointed when they see the Antichrist and the great apostasy, that which they thought happened in AD 70. With what's going on in the world today, you would actually think they would already admit that their eschatology has been debunked. But they're still believing that there will be a Christian revival in America and in the whole world. It's great faith, all right, but maybe faith in the wrong interpretation, which has been very common in church history. So what's the interpretation of the preterists? I have a couple minutes. Let's just sum it up. Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, is considered only a prophecy of events that happened in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The key interpretive text is Matthew 24, 34. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled." Therefore, they believe everything Jesus said about the abomination of desolation, about the Great Tribulation, occurred in the days of the apostles. But what about Matthew 24:29? The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Well, that again is considered apocalyptic symbolic language, describing God's judgment at many times in history. But what about the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the sky, and the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory? Well, that too must have happened in the first century, according to Matthew 24:34. So that must be symbolic language for Christ's spiritual coming. Well, what about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the day of the Lord? Preterists see the day of the Lord as judgment on Jerusalem in AD 70. And the end of the world, or the end of this age described in the New Testament, is simply the ending of the Old Covenant. And the entire book of the Revelation is not judgment on the whole world, but on the land of Israel. Revelation is considered a spiritual commentary on the 3.5 years leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. And the man of lawlessness, Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist, is either Nero or his general Titus, or maybe even the lawlessness of the Jews in Jerusalem. To sum up, the problem I see in the preterist post-millennial interpretation is that it makes Christ's physical kingdom this present world rather than the world to come. And it doesn't have Jesus returning to rescue us from this evil world and bringing relief to us at his coming, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7. It has the church prospering on earth. And that's a dangerous theology. Because the whole emphasis of the New Testament is Jesus' warning, John chapter 15, if you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, I have chosen you out of this world. Because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word I say to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. In Matthew 24:9, you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. We live in a fallen world, and we will be rescued by the blessed hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole point of the book of the Revelation is John being told by the heavenly messenger what will happen after these things. And I seriously question that the early church is needing an 18-chapter allegory of the destruction of Jerusalem. Besides, the Revelation was likely written after AD 70, but preterists, of course, date the Revelation before AD 70. From chapter 4 forward, the Revelation is all about Jesus Christ taking his rightful possession of this world by judging the wicked and delivering his people. It is a necessary prophecy to prepare God's people for the end of this current age, apart from which the Bible would be silent. This is not just about Israel, it's about the whole world. It is Revelation 10:11, prophesied concerning many people and nations and tongues and kings. It's Revelation 19:6, the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. This is program 431. The YouTube version of this program is on the YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. I think this will be YouTube 105. When I get around to creating the YouTube version, I hope to add some more content to this discussion. But as always, thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. And it should just be one part. Attend a good Bible teaching church and keep up with your own personal Bible study. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to discern the doctrine and the signs of the time, for the time is near. How blessed is he who heeds the word of the prophecy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.